committed any kind of crime.
Oh, come on, said Vimes. Everyone knows.
He stopped as his cynical ears heard his incredulous voice.
What, never?
Oh, people are always saying that they know someone who has a friend whose grandfather heard of one killing someone, and that's about as real as it gets, sir. Golems aren't allowed to hurt people, it's in their words.
They give me the willies, I know that, said Vimes.
They give everyone the willies, sir.
You hear lots of stories about them doing stupid things like making 1,000 teapots or digging a hole 5 miles deep, said Vimes.
Yes, but that's not exactly criminal activity, is it, sir? That's just ordinary rebellion.
What do you mean, rebellion?
Dumbly obeying orders, sir. You know, someone shouts at it, go and make teapots, so it does. Can't be blamed for obeying orders, sir. No one told them how many. No one wants them to think, so they get their own back by not thinking.
They rebel by working.
It's just a thought, sir. It'd make more sense to a golem, I expect. Automatically, they turned again to look at the silent shape of the golem.
Can it hear us? Said Vimes.
I don't think so, sir.
This business with the words.
I think they think a dead human is just someone who's lost his kin.
I don't think they understand how we work, sir. Them and me both, Captain.
Vimes stared at the hollow eyes. The top of Dorfel's head was still open so that light shone down through the sockets. Vimes had seen many horrible things on the street, but the silent golem was somehow worse. You could too easily imagine the eyes flaring and the thing standing up and striding forward, fists flailing like sledgehammers. It was more than just his imagination. It seemed to be built into the things, a potentiality biding its time.
That's why we all hate him, he thought. Those expressionless eyes watch us, those big faces turn to follow us. And doesn't it just look as if they're making notes and taking names?
If you heard that one had bashed in someone's head over in Quirm or somewhere, wouldn't you just love to believe it? A voice inside, a voice which generally came to him only in the quiet hours of the night, or in the old days halfway down a whiskey bottle, added, "Given how we use them, maybe we're scared because we know we deserve it." No, there's nothing behind those eyes. There's just clay and magic words. Vimes shrugged. I chased a golem earlier, he said. It was standing on the brass bridge, damned thing. Look, we've got a confession and the eyeball evidence. If you can't come up with anything better than a feeling, then we'll have to...
To what, sir? Said Carrot.
There isn't anything more we could do to him. He's dead now.
Inanimate, you mean?
Yes, sir, if you want to put it that way.
If Dorfel didn't kill the old men, who did?
Don't know, sir, but I think Dorfel does. Maybe he was following the murderer.
Could it have been ordered to protect someone?
Maybe, sir. Or he decided to.
You'll be telling me it's got emotions next.
Where's Angua gone?
She thought she'd check a few things, sir, said Carrot. I was puzzled about this, sir. It was in his hand.
He held up the object.
A piece of matchstick?
Golems don't smoke, and they don't use fire, sir. It's just odd that he should have the thing, sir.
Oh, said Vimes sarcastically. A clue.
Dorfel's trail was the word on the street. The mixed smells of the slaughterhouse filled Angua's nostrils. The journey zigzagged, but with a certain directional tendency. It was as if the golem had laid a ruler across the town and taken every road and alley that went in the right direction. She came to a short blind alley. There were some warehouse gates at the end. She sniffed. There were plenty of other smells, too. Dough, paint, grease, pine resin. Sharp, loud, fresh scents. She sniffed again. Cloth? Wool? There was a confusion of footprints in the dirt, large footprints. The small part of Angua that always walked on two legs saw that the footprints coming out were on top of the footprints going in. She snuffled around. Up to 12 creatures, each with their own very distinctive smell, the smell of merchandise rather than living creatures, had all very recently gone down the stairwell, and all 12 had come back up. She went down the steps and was met by an impenetrable barrier, a door. Paws were no good at doorknobs. She peered over the top of the steps. There was no one around, only the fog hung between the buildings. She concentrated and changed, leaned against the wall for a moment until the world stopped spinning, and tried the door. There was a large cellar beyond. Even with a werewolf's eyesight, there wasn't much to see.